Morning. Greetings to all of you. In the name of our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, I hope that's why we are all here this morning. Thank you, Travis. I also like that phrase, but Jesus. You know, there's so many things in life that look big to us. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. But Jesus, remembering that with God we are able, and God has the power to make us, to part waters for us in our life. I actually discovered, I think it's been since the end of June that I got up here and preached, so I appreciated the break, but it was good for me to get back in the Word, back to studying. Thank you for the encouragement. The last week or two, it's been a wild ride, I guess you could say. We appreciate the prayers, the support, all the reaching out. You realize the amount of friends you have in a time like this. I was at Golden Rule Lumber this past week, and I saw Michael Mass there, and he called me Bishop. And I said, I don't like that. I don't like to be called Bishop. Said, I would rather be called lead pastor. And he said, well, lead pastor is not in the Bible. Bishop is in the Bible. So anyway, I'm kind of grappling with that. I like lead pastor better. But anyway, regardless of that, I have had a lot of people reach out to me outside of our congregation from all the four winds. And I've just received a lot of encouragement. And one thing I kept telling people over and over again is that we have a good church and I have a good team. I said that over and over. And I am very thankful to be a part of a church. I got to the place where I can say that I love my church, I love the people. Sorry, I'm feeling slightly weak here this morning, so I hope I get through all of today. But I'm very thankful that I can say that I love our church. I love all of you. And I am thrilled to work with Dwight and Mervyn. We are definitely going to miss Paul. Paul's humor, his wisdom on our team. But I'm very thankful that we have a team that we can move ahead, we can work together. And I'm very confident that if something happened to me, that either Dwight or Mervyn would do very well at taking on the work. We've done something a bit unusual here in this church. I feel a high level of trust from you. I don't know of a lot of churches where the oldest guy on the team is 33. I haven't seen that very much. I'm fully aware that it's not very normal. But I sense a trust coming from the church, and I want to pass that back on to you. We're in a transition period here. We've had an immense amount of change. If you think back on the last number of years, 2.5 years ago, I was sitting just like you are. Never been a preacher before. 2.5 years ago, I stand before you. We've had a lot of change, and change can look scary. Change can look overwhelming sometimes. Talk about that a little bit later. But I wanted to make something very clear here this morning. And that is that this is not my church. I do not feel like this is it's my church in that I am glad to be a part of my church. I saw a sticker on a vehicle recently that said, "I love my church." And I thought we should maybe get a lot of stickers printed out, and we could just all plaster our vehicles with, "I love my church." Wouldn't that be something? I'm not talking about it in that way, but I'm talking about it as in me personally. I don't want this to be my project. This is our church. This is we. This is us. And that gives me a lot of courage as we think of our church moving forward, is that this is not a one-man show. We can work on this together. And I have a lot of confidence in the church and in that. And I would just tell you now, too, I know there have been many a man who started out humble, they started out right, and eventually became proud. And I'm just going to tell you, especially you men over here, if you ever see that anything is getting to my head, I'm going to ask you to let me know. I don't want to become proud. I don't want to rely on my own strength. I want us to rely on God. And also, I don't know if you noticed the commitments that I made the other night, but I believe, and I'll say it again, that my ministry, I was called to this work by the church, and I believe that it is, if you all see, if the church sees that I'm no longer qualified for this work, that it is also the church that has the authority to remove the ministry. I very much believe that. So I don't know how you're feeling this morning. It'd be interesting to hear you in one word how you feel. Are you scared? Are you nervous? Are you optimistic? I'm not sure, but I would like to give us a little bit of encouragement this morning. I have been tremendously encouraged by reading in Joshua, particularly, I think it was the week leading up to the ordination. And I want to share that with you all as an encouragement. Y'all have been encouragement to me. I want to be encouragement to you all as well. We have the story here in Joshua 1. You can go ahead and turn to that. We have the death of Moses. Now picture yourself here with the children of Israel. You're so used to having Moses as your leader, and things have been pretty systematic up to this point. If there was ever a problem that could not be solved, it could always go to Moses. And so here we have Moses died, and someone needed to take his place. Verse 1, it says Moses' minister, another word for that is assistant. So Joshua was an assistant to Moses, and he was going to be the man in charge to take his place. As we read this, we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and I actually believe that Joshua may have been afraid. That Joshua may have been a bit frightened. And we don't think of that when we read in Joshua because there's so much talk of being strong and courageous. But I believe the reason that I think that is because God three times told him to be strong and to be courageous. So I want to read Joshua 1, 1 through 9. Now, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister or assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast or territory. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Here we go. Into verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Again, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Here we go again. Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay, this is going to be a little bit more expository here this morning. We're going to simply just take lessons out of Joshua 1, and then later I would like to go to Joshua 3. But one lesson we can learn here right out of the gate is that, of course, the exception of if Jesus returns, everyone dies and everyone is replaceable. That's kind of hard for us to imagine sometimes. We have so much responsibility. We have so much saddled up on us that we kind of have this attitude sometimes that, man, if it wasn't for what I'm doing, stuff would just stop. Have you ever had someone that kind of had that attitude? Maybe an employee. If I quit working for you, this place would go downhill. And we see here just a very simple lesson that all of us are going to die at some point and all of us are replaceable. What that tells me is that no matter what you're at, where you are in life, maybe you're on the school board, maybe you're the song leader, wherever you are, wherever you find yourself in the church with responsibilities, is that you've got a window of time to give it your best shot, to do what is excellent, because someone is going to come behind you and is going to take your place. It's exactly what happened here with Moses and Joshua. Another lesson. God wants us to claim new territory. So we are not fighting on actual land, thankfully, but we are fighting a spiritual warfare. In the kingdom of God, I believe God wants us to march forward. As a church, God wants us to continue to claim territory for His kingdom. And we are not to fight each other. You know, how much more would Russia love if Ukraine would begin fighting each other? Or vice versa. They would see them start to kill each other. And as we look at this example in Joshua, that's not at all what you see. And I'm not sure how we miss that sometimes, is that somehow we start fighting amongst ourselves and with each other and against each other instead of moving forward in an unstoppable way as a church in one unit. And I see that here. It mentions later the wives, the children, those who are extra strong. I see this huge group of people that was knit together in one motion, and they were moving forward into enemy territory. The title of the message this morning is Arise, and it comes out of verse 2. Arise, go over this Jordan. Another lesson here, obviously, the most obvious one, is to be strong and courageous. And to be strong and to be courageous is a choice. I really believe that it is. Verse 6, 7, and 9 all mention about being strong and courageous. Verse 9, he goes further. He says, don't be dismayed. And that comes from the Greek word Kotheth, and it means, so we're thinking of being dismayed. God telling Joshua, don't be like this. Don't be dismayed. to break down, either literally by violence or figuratively, by confusion and fear, to make afraid, beat down, discouraged, go down, scare, or terrify. So I get the picture of someone who is dismayed, where they're actually not even standing anymore. And I imagine someone just kind of crumpled up on a heap on the floor because they're so terrified and afraid at what is to happen. And God simply says, don't be like this. I'm going to write some words on the board. Grace, honest. I'm short, so I got to go low there. We're going to use just those as an example. I think we could all say that we would like for those words to be a part of our life. They are good words. I can do something to those words that completely changes the meaning. Okay, you can have grace, but if you hear of something or someone being a disgrace, it completely changes the word. And that's exactly what happens when we take the word courage, and instead of having courage, we use this word called discourage. Dis is a Latin prefix meaning apart, asunder, or away. And all of a sudden, this word discouraged doesn't seem so innocent anymore. And I think we can just kind of flippantly use this word, maybe as a crutch, maybe because we want people to pity us, I don't know. But what are we saying when we're discouraged? And I'll be the first one to admit that I have been discouraged. So I'm not saying here this morning that we are never discouraged. I'm sure all of you at some point have been discouraged. But discouragement is not a place to stay. We cannot stay in a state of discouragement, because what that means, the opposite of being strong and courageous is to be weak and disheartened. To be weak and to not have courage. And I don't think any one of us wants to be there very long. And that is a very dangerous place for us to be. If someone comes up to us and they're giving their sob story, you can tell they want pity. They want everybody to see what all they're doing, how hard their life is. What if we, instead of, you know, just going along with that and saying, yeah, I'm just so sorry, your life is so hard. What if we would grab them by the arm and say, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be dismayed. This word courage is also used in Ruth 1:18. It's actually the exact same meaning. It's translated a little different. It's in two words. But it indicates that this thing of being courageous and having courage is actually largely a mental exercise. In Ruth 1:17-18, it says this. Where thou this I'm going to read 17 just for backdrop so we all know what we're talking about. When thou diest, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Same word, steadfastly minded. And so to me, that tells me that having courage is actually largely an exercise of the mind. Being courageous is not a feeling. It's not. Courage implies firmness of mind and will in the face of danger and will. Sorry, that's where I was getting messed up. Courage implies firmness of mind and will in the face of danger or extreme difficulty. It's from the Webster's. And the definition of courage is mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. So courage is a choice and not a feeling. You girls over here can be very glad that you don't have to go ask the guy. I remember on a cold day, number of years back, I remember exactly where I was. I was in the store. I was back in the break room, and I wanted to call Kathy's dad. And I was scared spitless. I held the phone, and I looked at it, and I looked at it, and I would dial the number, and I was just terrified. And I actually, I paced the floor. I wasted time. Finally, I was able to hit the call button. Discovered later, it was probably one of the worst days of the year to ask. It was one of the coldest days of the year, and they were pulling pipe out of the well. And he gets this call from a guy that wants to date his daughter. But that takes courage to do something. Sympathize with you, young guys. It's something we all have to do if we want to get there. But it takes courage. It takes us actually doing something in the face of fear to step out and to do something and not just cower as in the definition of being dismayed. Another lesson I take out of Joshua 1 is that following God's law brings success. And we see here where God is telling him, don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right or to the left. Follow God's law. And if we as a church want success, and I'm not sure if success is the right word, success as in the kingdom advancing, I will say that. If we want that from our church here, we are going to have to read and to follow the manual that he has given us. Jesus said, I am the way. And so we have here God simply telling Joshua, you will succeed if you follow my manual. If you do what I command you, you will be successful. And that is the exact same way today. If we deviate to the left or to the right, and we no longer follow the manual that he's given to us here, we will fail. I'd like to finish the chapter here, 10 through 18. Why don't you stand for a change of position? Joshua 1, 10 through 18. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals or provisions, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren, armed all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord have given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. You can sit down. So we actually see here in the end of the chapter that the people were encouraging Joshua also to be strong. I like that. All of us together encouraging one another to be strong. Another lesson here is the protection for the women and children. He specifically mentions your wives and your little ones. The mighty men of valor, the warriors, they were to lead the charge and they were to protect the weaker. They were supposed to protect the children and the wives. I mentioned this a little bit earlier. But I think sometimes we do look for pity. We run into a situation and we think, surely somebody could feel sorry for me a little bit. I was standing in the line up here the other night, Sunday evening, and we had all these people come through and give their encouragement and all of that. And I had someone come up to me, more than one person actually, but I had someone come up to me and they said, "I don't feel sorry for you one bit." And I thought, surely you could feel sorry for me a little bit. And it actually gave me encouragement. This is possible. You can do this. There was no pity there. And I think that's good. In Joshua 2, we read the story of how the spies went to spy out the land, and the harlot hid them. We know what happened there in that story. I'm not going to read in Joshua 2. There's a lot of lessons there, but I want to go to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3, verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant, and pass over before the people." And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, "This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan." And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, "Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God." And Joshua said, "Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Lord, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over you before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon an heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as they that bear the Ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. It's a very interesting detail there. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam, that is beside Zeraton. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. There's some really interesting details here. So they come to the Jordan River, and it tells us that the banks were overflowing. So there was flooding going on right now. So it was extra deep, it was extra muddy, and it was extra wide. And they come up to the Jordan River, and they are told to come up there and to put their feet into the water. And after they put their feet into the water, they were to stand still. And I would like for us to look at the Jordan River this morning as a fear in our life, or something that looks difficult to us. And I want us to think about stepping out wherever this is. We know that God wants us to do it, but we're afraid. And instead of cowering behind and running, we step into the Jordan, into the water, and we stand still and we let God move. Last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but Saturday before, of all the last 2 weeks, that was the hardest day. The Jordan looked pretty wide. It looked very deep. And I didn't want to go through it. I thought of Jonah. And if there was ever a time I wanted to run, it would have been then. I don't want to do this, God. I thought of Jonah. I said, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do what Jonah did. I thought of David. I thought of the 8-year-old Josiah being king of Israel. And I said, those are the kinds that I want to be like. I don't want to be a Jonah. So I just simply say, I know what it's like to look at something and it looks difficult and it looks hard and it looks deep and it looks wide. And the easiest thing would be to run. It would be the easiest thing to do. But God wants us to go up to the water, to embrace our fear, and to step into it. And this is what I believe we often don't do, that I often don't do, and that is to simply sit still and allow God to move. Step into that Jordan, step into that water, and God's going to do wonders. I don't know what all we're going to face as a church in the next couple of years. I'm not naive enough to think that everything is going to be a picnic. I know that we're going to have things to work through. We're going to have disagreements about things that come up. One of you men sitting here, your life is fixing to change in January. There's more changes coming. And we talk about territory. And I believe that God wants us to continue to expand His church. We are talking about planting other churches. And that requires doing things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes change looks hard, it looks difficult. And I think of us as a church. The next year or two, there's going to be more changes happening. There's going to be more things that we have to face. There's going to be Jordan rivers that we're going to come up to. And it's going to seem, I don't want to say impossible, it's going to look impossible. Faith goes against logic. I'm sure when they came up against this river, it was like, we can't do this. It's impossible for us to cross. And they come up to it, and they put their feet into it. God wants us to do something, that we don't just sit back and do nothing and cower in fear. And so I have this image of us as a church working together as a unit, and we are marching forward into new territory. And what do we do when we come to a Jordan River? What do we do? According to this, we stand still and we let God move. I have seen God move. I have seen God do things for us here that I never thought possible. He has moved. He has done the impossible. And that should give us faith in moving forward when we look back at how God has provided. That we look at that and have courage. And so I just want to leave that with you all. That we take courage. There's going to be changes. Some people's lives are going to change. Probably all of our lives are going to change at some point. But don't forget to step in to the Jordan and let God move. I thought of this song, and I wish we could play it over the speakers, but I couldn't find it. It says, it goes like this. The Father has a plan, though it's hard to see it now. You feel you're walking all alone, but He is there, no doubt. When the storms around you rages, and you're tossed to and fro, when you're faced with life's decisions, not sure which way to go, stand still and let God move. Standing still is hard to do when you feel you have reached the end. He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. When the enemy surrounds you and the walls are closing in, when the tide is swiftly rising and you wonder where He's been, friend, there never was a moment that His arms weren't reaching out. You can rest assured and be secure. God is moving right now. When you feel you've reached the end, He'll make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. The answer will come, but only in His time. Stand still and let God move. I leave that as an encouragement for our church, but not only that, but for you as an individual. There's most likely someone here today that's standing on the banks of a Jordan River, and it looks difficult and it looks hard, and it looks impossible, and you don't know what to do. I pray that the message today could be an encouragement to you to be strong and to be courageous and to never lose sight of God and His faithfulness and what He can do. And in my last words here, I just simply want to invite you, as the message title, verse 2, for us as a church, arise, let us go over this Jordan. Let's kneel for prayer.